around the world. The Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. As always, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. It's a great joy to always be with you and to share the word of the living God, to encourage you, to strengthen your hand, and to lift you up, whether it be by edification of the word, or the reproof, or the rebuke through the word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, Paul said, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So God's word sometimes reproves, it rebukes, it corrects, and it instructs. Why? Because he loves us immensely. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. What great love God has for his people, amen. And I'm glad that he loves me today. I'm glad that he loves you as well. God is not biased in his love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is not biased in his love toward any man. Regretfully, we as human creatures can be biased, very opinionated. When it comes to the love of God, God does not operate like that in any capacity. One very special note, an announcement, the Authority Evangelism Discipleship Gathering, Friday, October the 28th, Saturday, October the 29th, Sunday, October the 30th, Pastor Prophet Scott Lathrop, Reverend Colonel, and yours truly, David Langford, will be at 813 Oak Meadow Drive, Franklin, Tennessee. Pastor Nick Serban is hosting the conference there in Franklin, Tennessee. We invite you to go to www.seedtimeharvest.net. Seedtimeharvest.net. We're looking for God to open up the fountain of grace upon this meeting, breaking the chains, the shackles, and the fetters that may hold people in bondage, and pour the oil and the wine of the Holy Ghost into their hearts and lives. My wife and Linton will be with me. We're anticipating a great, great move of God and working with my two fellow brethren. Before we go into the scriptures and what we're going to be talking about today, I want to play a very upbeat song, because I do have good news.
Can overcome it all. I'll spread this talk all over town about the peace of God.
good news. Everything about Christ is nothing but good news. We welcome you today. We're going to be addressing a few things today that we have, for the most part, steered away from. But I feel it's time to address a few issues scripturally from the Word of God. You've heard me quote this verse of Scripture scores of times since 2012, Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The people mourn. I want to ask you a question today, as my subject, is God up to something? Is God up to something? We all have been witnessing the problems of Hillary Clinton's health. Just last week, her knees buckle. She loses her shoe, comes off. There could be many more aberrations, hypothyroidism. Looking back, 2005, she faints. 2012, she falls while boarding a plane. She falls in her home. She has a concussion, a blood clot. And then all of a sudden, lately, she's been having these profound and profuse coughing spells. Almost as though she's choking. And as I was pondering her choking, coughing fits, I try to not spiritualize things. That's borderline on sensationalism, and I cannot endure people on talk radio who try to sensationalize anything. I don't like that. That to me is a farce. It is chicanery. It's fake. It's not real. But they do it for ratings and to attract people to their talk shows or websites or whatever the case might be. I don't know. But I can't stand it when people sensationalize anything, especially when I know in my heart, my spirit, there is an ulterior motive in what they're doing. We just simply preach the Word of God here. We don't have an agenda. We're not trying to build an empire or an earthly kingdom. God has been gracious over the last several years to grow the voice of evangelism, but we're not even seeking growth. We just want to preach the Word and use the tools, whether it be Blog Talk Radio, WWCR, YouTube, or other media outlets that God has so graciously afforded us, the Jim Baker Show, Hagman & Hagman, True News, Weekend Vigilante, whatever the radio outlet program might be. We do not call people to get on their programs. We don't do that. We don't feel like God is in that. We just let God open the doors, and God graciously opens the doors because we don't have an agenda here. But recently, having watched these horrific coughing hack, pun intended, episodes by Hillary Clinton, a scripture came to my mind, and I want to go there today. In Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And I want to bring something to your attention, and I want to bring to you the meaning of that word. Mark 5, beginning at verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of Gadarenes. And when he, Christ, was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by the living God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? The demon answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. I want to pause right there for just a moment. And I want you to think about what that last phrase says. Look at it. And were choked in the sea. I want to back up for just a minute and reiterate my thought. My subject topic today is God up to something? The Bible says here in verse 3 of our scripture text, there was a man of the Gadarenes, which had an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit. What is important about that? Well, I very well believe Jezebel may be possessed with an unclean spirit. As a matter of fact, I am confident there is an unclean spirit, unnatural pollution, such as demons, called unclean spirits. These unclean spirits are unclean themselves. Therefore, they make solicitations. They have filled mankind with all uncleanness and every abomination which the Lord hates. When something is unclean, it's unfit. It has no rights and privileges because by nature, being unclean, it then makes it unfit, unworthy. What I find amazing is verse 3, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. It's been evidenced through the last few months, years, when we go all the way back to Whitewater, no man can bind these people. They can't bind them seemingly with anything. In perpetuity, they live in a state of Teflon. Everything just slides off. Everything that comes to fruition, everyone says this is it. But, like this demoniac here, he was bound with fetters and chains, and yet he could break them. With rapidity, he broke them over and over and over and over. And neither could any man tame him. This unclean spirit has the ability, the strength, the power, the impetus, because you've got to understand who is behind the unclean spirit. That's right, Satan. Satan is the impetus behind Jezebel. Jezebel is all about control. Don't ever underestimate and question what does the word Jezebel mean. Jezebel is about control. Jezebel walked in one day and witnessed Ahab and his face turned against the wall, and he was upset. He was having a pity party. And Jezebel says unto him, "Sugar babe, what's the problem?" He conveys the reason he is so distraught is because Naboth will not sell, exchange, or give him his vineyard. And because of that, Ahab becomes distraught, begins to have a pity party. But Jezebel arrives and says, "I will take care of it." And to shorten the story, she sets together a false tribunal, false witnesses, and she has Naboth killed, and then gives Naboth's vineyard to her husband, Ahab. Let me say, in the last days, you're going to witness the church, the body of Christ, through this end time ecumenical movement become feminized. I'm presently writing a new book. The church is not the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. But the harlot church in Revelation 17 is the mother of harlots. And in this new book, I'm going to show you that the church cannot be the bride, but rather the body of Christ. And how this erroneous false teaching began. But as you watch the feminization of the church here in the last days, you'll see it become fully blown when she does become a woman. But we know, according to the Word of God, the church is Christ's body. I was explaining to my wife last night that God took a rib from Adam's side. God did not go back to the earth and form her from a separate entity. He did not bring Eve to him from another personage, another element of creation. But God distinctly took her from Adam. That's the mystery of the church, the oneness. They were one. Not two people. And if you can't understand the mystery of the church, you'll never get over the hurdle of the church being his body and not the bride of Christ. flesh of my flesh, bone of my bones. They can now take your DNA, grow you a kidney, a liver, a heart, a lung, and then transplant it back into your body. And there is no bodily rejection. Why? Because it's you. You cannot take the DNA, the cells, genetically of another person, and grow another organ and transplant that into your body, and your body not desirous to reject it. That's why, hopefully here in the next few weeks, I'll have this book completed and have it available to try to help the understanding. But Ephesians 1, 22, 23, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. The church, which is his body, not the bride. But as we witness the feminization of today's church, it will evolve to the point and to the degree in which it becomes totally feminized. That, my friend, is a very dangerous thing. Revelation 17:5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. You see, Satan is going to try to emulate the church in a feminine manner and not a masculine like the body of Christ. And this woman, she's drunken with the blood of the saints, blood of martyrs. And John said, and I saw her. Again, the pronoun her demonstrating feminization of the ecumenical end time church. Jezebel seeks control. Men can possess themselves a spirit of Jezebel. Why? Because they want to control everything. Let me go another step further today. I believe the other night, when Hillary was on her soapbox, and she said half of Donald Trump's voters could be put in a basket. They are deplorable and they are irredeemable. I want you to go back and look at that video. Look at her temperament. Look how slowly she's talking, her mannerisms. When usually she's fired up and she's talking with vehemence and very demonstrative in her arms and her language, her hands. But then when you see her in this video calling half of Donald Trump's voters deplorables, homophobic, do you see that's sickening. I would be deemed a homophobic myself. But I don't have a mental disorder. If you're claustrophobic, you have a fear of close quarters. There are different types of phobia, but they all fall under the auspices of a fear, some type of fear. I do not fear sodomites. I understand them for who they are. It's a sin. And if they do not repent, they will go to hell. But I have no fear of sodomites or queers. As they put on their placards, I'm a queer pastor, I'm a queer deacon. I've never seen a queer pastor or a queer deacon to begin with. Not a godly one. But I've never seen one that I have fear of. As Hillary was making this very debased and debauched analysis of Trump's voters, I witnessed the woman was on drugs. She's sedated to keep her from having these seizures. Now, I know medically there are true reasons and results for seizures. But demon-possessed people have seizures all the time. They are not really seizures. They are manifestations of demonic presence, of demonic possession. Demons are manifest in many different ways because they are disembodied spirits. Scripturally, we have no origin. We can find no record of where demons were created. And Steve Quill and I have conversed many times about demons. Where did they come from? They are many. This one here in our scripture text, his name is called Legion. And the scripture says there were about 2,000. Legion also can mean 6,000. We just don't know. But Steve and I are convinced demonic spirits are the spirits of giants. Because we have no record of God ever creating demons. Fallen angels are not demons. Angels cannot possess people. Angels are men. We have no record of there ever being female angels. That's another farce and heresy. Every angel that we read about is always masculine. Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer, the two angels that came to Sodom and Gomorrah. I could go on and on, but I won't. There were also female giants. Won't get into all of that, but needless to say, there were many, many, many giants, and we believe that's where the demonics or the demon spirits come from. But as we witness Jezebel and her operation, we notice that seemingly she is covered in Teflon. She just can't be bound. No one seems to be able to get the goods to stick on her life. That's why I believe God is up to something. I haven't had a revelation. I haven't had a vision. But in my spirit, God is not going to allow your prayers, your fasting, your financial support to men such as myself who are faithful in heralding the word of God and preaching uncompromisingly will not go in vain. God is going to hear and answer prayer. Psalms 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are opened unto their cries. This just cannot continue on without God rising up and doing something. There are some righteous people left in America. There are some godly people left in America who are walking the walk and talking the talk and praying and fasting and crying out to God relentlessly, God, help us. God, help us. That's why I believe God is up to something. This man at the Gadarenes, the demons were manifest because he was night and day in the mountains crying and cutting himself with stones. That's the first record of your first cutters cutting the flesh. When the man saw Jesus, we don't have a record of the man himself saying anything, but he ran and he worshiped. Now watch here. I'm going to show you my point. Verse 6, Mark 5, verse 6. And when he, the man, saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He wanted deliverance. But we don't see where the man speaks, but we see where the demon speaks. He, the man, ran and worshipped Jesus and cried with a loud voice. Didn't say the man, didn't use the pronoun he. But the voice said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, or Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." This is the demon speaking, not the man. This is the, would be termed in psychosis and psychology, psychiatry, this would be multiple personalities. That's what you would be witnessing here. That other person talking. And he was. As I said, we do not have a record here of the man speaking. Let me go back to verse 6 again. But when he, the man, saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And it doesn't say, and he cried with a loud voice. It says, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." The demon knew who Jesus was. The demons obviously know their ultimate destiny and end when God binds them and puts them in the lake of fire. Don't torment us, please. For he, the demon, said unto him, or Jesus said unto him, to the demon, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he, Jesus, asked the demon, "What is thy name?" And the demon answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he, the demon, besought him, Jesus, much that he, Jesus, would not send him away out of the country. Demons are territorial. They want to hold possession of land that they have gained and conquered. You've heard me say this many times, I believe. There are principalities and powers of the air over Washington, D.C., over San Francisco, California, over Las Vegas. These demons take up places and build strongholds, and they do not want to leave those places. Once they have conquered, once they have inhibited a place, they do not want to leave that place. So the demon legion besought Christ that Christ would not send them away out of the country. Do not send us away, please. Then the gospel says there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils, why, there's 2,000 demons there, folks. 2,000 demons. That's a lot of demons. You talk about a man having psychosis and a split personality, this man, my Lord, it's hard to imagine. It is really hard to imagine the torment this man was feeling. Demons seek to rule and they seek to control human affairs. They're destructive, evil. They are the personification of dark and mysterious. essence. I mean evil. Many times they are obscured. They lay docile, they lay dormant, they lay quiet in people's lives. But then there are manifestations. Because they are demons, demoniacs, they have the ability to influence people's lives both spiritually and physically. And when they possess a person, the person can no longer master, neither control themselves. Why? They are under demonic influence and control. Demonical possession never seems to occur without some outward signs of derangement. We witnessed here the derangement in the man cutting himself. He was being influenced to cut himself. An act of violence overpowering the man. Now, you talk about overpowering a man. The Bible says emphatically that no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Demons have great strength. You hear police officers, when they're trying to arrest a drug-induced man, the supernatural strength they suddenly possess, and it takes four, five, six police officers to take them down. They tase them and a host of other things. In the end, the person takes on the absolute nature of the demons and become an instrument of Satan. See, I believe Jezebel is the personification of an instrument of Satan. I have no doubt. I have no doubt in my heart whatsoever. This woman is under demonic control. My God. Just the fact of the habitual lying, no conscience, what's none, not even remotely. And she's full of sorcery. You say, well, what do you mean sorcery? Sorcery, the Greek word pharmakia, we get the English word pharmacy, drugs. I'm telling you, the other night, when she was so docile, she was so laid back, and no, in any capacity was she animated, not moving her hands, not wielding her arms, not, you know, going on. Look at her the night of her Democratic presentation and speech versus the other night. See, the demon begins to talk. The demon begins to speak. Half of Donald Trump's voters are deplorable, despicable, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic. That's not the woman. That's the demons, and that's the spirit of sorcery, the drugs. Whether she was on Valium, Risperdal, Demerol, I don't know. But I know she was sedated, and that's why she was talking so boldly, yet in a very relaxed and calm demeanor. Because her body was relaxed, but her voice, her speech, let me say her speech, not her voice. Her voice was also relaxed, but her speech. Go back and look at it. Her speech was so condescending, so demeaning, so castigating, so impinging. But her body was totally relaxed from, I'm convinced, pharmaceutical drugs. The man here at the Gadarenes, the demons sought the Lord, besought Jesus much. They just didn't, hey, how about letting us stay around here? No. Besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils, the plurality, the demons, besought Jesus, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them, the demons, leave. A leave of absence. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. As I was, matter of fact, Steve Quill and I had just had prayer over the phone. And when we got through praying, the word choked entered into my mind. And then I thought about this scripture text here in Mark chapter 5. I then went to the Greek and looked up the word choked. It's number 4155 in your Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. What does it mean? It means to wheeze. It means to throttle or to strangle. It means to choke by taking hold of one's throat. And of course, it can mean to drown. Have we not seen a manifestation of wheezing, a throttling down or strangling by the throat by Jezebel? Now, I know she says she has allergies every September. Did anybody ever notice over the last 35 years these allergies? You see, you have an allergy reaction when something foreign comes into your body. Pollen, mold, whatever the case might be. Most of the time it's fescue, ragweed, all of these things. And then your body begins to produce something called histamines. I know I've been very allergic years ago. I was one of the most allergic persons you would ever know, and it was always in August, September when ragweed flourishes, and I would have profuse reaction, and then our body produces histamines. It's really an unnatural effect in the body, and we have histamines produced. Our body begins to produce histamines. Thus, we find the term antihistamines. Benadryl, Flonase, these are antihistamine drugs. And they're blocking the symptoms of the allergic reaction. Once the histamine is released, it binds itself to your receptors on the cells in your nose, your throat, and it causes them to swell. Then we have over amount of mucus and fluid, which is nothing but inflammation. The histamines cause inflammation in the body. Then you have what we call nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, itching eyes, and other symptoms. The antihistamines that we induce into our bodies then go and coat the receptors, which prevents this binding, which in return brings the inflammation of the nasal passages, the upper respiratory tract, our eyes, and our noses. But before we take an antihistamine, we have profuse inflammation that creates nasal congestion. The membranes start to swell, and that's why your nose gets stopped up. And what's making the nose stopped up is the swelling. And the membranes swell to the fact they start running, leaking fluid. And you've got this drainage out your nose, running down your throat. That's why when you go to bed at night, it can lodge in the upper respiratory tracts. And then we get phlegm. We get mucus. I'm not trying to be gross here. I'm just telling you what's happening. Why am I telling you all of this? When you watch Hillary Clinton, do you witness nasal congestion? Do you witness a runny nose? Sneezing, itching and watering eyes, and other such symptoms, and her taking out a handkerchief or Kleenexes and wiping her nose or blowing her nose. Do you witness any of that? No. You don't see any of that. You know why? I believe God is allowing demonic spirits to be made manifest publicly on television. Now, I know my detractors, my pundits will say, man, you are out there. Anybody listening to me that's ever had allergies know the symptoms. I mean, you feel pathetic when you have a real attack or an allergies become full-blown. I mean, your eyes are itching, they're running, your nose, you're sneezing, you're hacking, you're coughing. You feel terrible in your body. Why? Because your body has initiated histamines, and they go all throughout the body. No, I believe God is suffering us to witness the demons as they throttle or strangle, choke her by the throat. You see, demons... And I said this last week, Satan has the power to kill, but not the power to resurrect. I failed to give you a scripture last week, Hebrews 2:14, that through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Satan can choke her out and kill her. But as I said, Satan cannot resurrect. Why? John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection. The resurrection is not just a verb describing people being raised from the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. He is the personage. He is the personification of the resurrection. Because through his death, he conquered death and hell. Revelation 1:19, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore and have the keys of death and of hell. Amen. I have the power. I am the resurrection. My God, that's powerful. I'm not a resurrection. I am the resurrection, Jesus told Martha and Mary. I am the resurrection. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Remember, I told you Satan has no resurrection power. He can kill, John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Again, Hebrews 2:14, that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil, Diablos. I believe God, to those who have spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, we're witnessing demonic activity on television. Is God up to something? Oh, you better believe it. You had better believe it. Listen, God still honors his word. 2 Chronicles 7, 14-15, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayers that shall be made in this place. God is up to something. Wouldn't it be unbelievable if the first debate, Hillary went into a coughing spell, a coughing fit, the demons begin to choke her by the throat, throttle her back. Now they will do everything to not allow that to happen by sedating her with sedation sedatives to keep that under control. But you see, you don't mess with God. You've heard me quote this verse for 25 years nearly now on radio. Revelation 17:17, for God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will. Listen, God has power over demons. They knew, these demons knew that he had power over them. They were subjected to him. That's why they said, art thou come hither to torment us? Don't torment us. Don't cast us into the abyss yet. Don't. Please. Why? They're territorial. They didn't want Jesus to run them off. So they said, let us go into the swine. Jesus said, don't cast your pearl before swine. I heard Hillary Clinton make a statement the other day, how her father, who was a World War II veteran, every night got down on his knees beside his bed and cried out to God, I thought he had none effect on your life. She remembers the prayers, but the prayers do not affect people like her. Why? Because once God gives you over to a reprobate mind, you're void of any type of spiritual judgment at all. Is God up to something? Oh, yeah. You need to tell everyone that you can listen to this program. Tell them to go to my website, Blog Talk Radio, whoever, download, listen to this program again. This has been in my heart for the last 2 weeks, and I felt the need to address it because we are witnessing God doing something right before us. Listen. God is in control of everything. There is nothing that God is not controlling. And I believe God has everything in his control right now, even to the point of Donald Trump running for the office. And I pray that Mark Taylor's revelation that Trump will be elected, 5 Supreme Court justices will be appointed. Henry Gruber saw some type of golden garment being put on Donald Trump, and they put on a tallit at the black church in Detroit. A tallit is the prayer shawl that the Israelis wear. If I'm not mistaken, that tallit had golden embroidery around it. God's up to something. Keep walking with him. He'll protect you. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to the Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.